The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Ready, Set, Spill. I'm Lindsay Carter, the founder and CEO of Set Active, a new mother and the host of Ready, Set, Spill.
So I always start these with a fun little icebreaker. As the queen of hair essentials.
Yes.
Fuck, marry, kill these three hair accessories.
Okay.
Bump its, feather extensions, and hair chalk.
Okay, I've never even seen hair chalk, ever.
Hair chalk is like you can like temporarily dye your hair.
Can I kill all of them?
Can I kill all of them? No, that's the best part. They're so bad that you have
They're so bad. Okay, honestly, I would marry a bump it because I think if it's done right, we could save it.
You know what? Addison Rae just posted a TikTok that bump its were coming back. So you never know.
I'm not opposed to a poof.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. Okay, so you're going to marry a bump it.
I'm going to marry a bump it. I'm definitely killing hair chalk, whatever
okay.
that is.
So you get to have a lot of fun with a feather yes. extensions. It could be fun.
That'd be a nice little time.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I think my answer would actually be the same.
The same.
Yeah. So let's just get right into it. Who's Julianne Goldmark?
I'm the founder of MEJ.
Yeah.
I run it with my mom.
Wow.
Born and raised here in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And yeah, we're employing all these young girls, which feels super weird, or girls my age.
Yeah.
And just trying to make it work and make it happen and make cool stuff for all these women.
What role does your mom play?
So my mom is day-to-day operations.
Okay.
She's technically president, but she really just does she wears every hat, basically.
Yeah.
But she's been a part of it since the beginning, which has been really crazy.
Oh my God. And how is it working with your mom?
I mean, can you imagine working with your mom? I would say it's bittersweet. I think it's a really special experience and we're so close and we're such a tight-knitted family that it just feels pretty natural and I'm so used to it at this point.
Yeah.
But also at 26, being with your mom 24/7 is obviously not the easiest at times.
Of course.
So it's definitely like highs and lows, I would say.
Wow.
Yeah.
My mom passed when I was little, but just like thinking of like what it would be to work with my dad or just like anyone in my family, I couldn't do it. So I respect you a lot.
Totally.
I'm sure your mom's a great, amazing person.
She's amazing. She's the best.
Yeah.
But setting boundaries has been
hard.
Recent.
Yeah.
Like having to set, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
And it's all I know. So
I cannot imagine. Okay. So how was MEJ born?
So we started back in 2009. I was 14 at the time. And I mean, it was an accidental situation. Mariana coined it 1.0 and 2.0, which I think is pretty accurate because to be completely honest, like this is, I'd say in the last 3 years, it's really been my baby.
Yeah.
And prior to then, we did have a business partner. We were selling very different products. The branding was totally different. So we started with those knotted hair ties.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember those back in the day.
Yeah, of course.
So we made those in just tie-dye and solid colors for our friends and family members. And Chris McMillan, who's an incredible hairstylist in LA, he started putting them on his clients. And Instagram didn't exist at the time. So some of his clients put them as like their favorite things or what's in their bag.
Yeah.
In a magazine.
Uh-huh. The Us Weekly What's in My Bag.
I think it was Marie Claire. But
oh.
It was like one of those. Which,
yeah.
I mean, in 2009, everyone is still reading magazines.
Yeah.
So he so kindly put us in one of those with one of his clients. And we didn't have a website. So we had to build a very last minute website so we could have this feature in this moment. And then it kind of just went from there.
It snowballed.
Yeah. Our first order was from a member of the Nordstrom family.
Okay.
And so that was our first wholesaler, which is pretty crazy.
So you decided to do wholesale from the beginning?
From the beginning. We didn't know what we were doing.
Okay.
We were running out of my parents' house.
Yeah.
In a guest room. And it was my mom, my grandma, our business partner, her mom, my like several family members and family friends tying hair ties, watching TV every single night.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun and hectic all at the same time.
It's just, it's crazy.
So then tell me about the transition into like hair clips, because that's what you guys are known for.
Yeah.
And now you guys just came out with a hairbrush, which I'm so excited to talk to you about. But okay, so tell me about the journey into hair clips.
So it kind of started right when quarantine hit. We had plans to launch hair clips. Some of my girlfriends, we would go to work out and then go do cryotherapy. And they would wear these big claw clips just from the drugstore on the top of their head. And I was not into it. And they were like, can you just make cuter claw clips? Because there's really nothing out there. And these break and we just need better ones. So yeah. I was like, okay, well, let's make
or,
a couple.
Or there's like super cheap ones, or there's like ones that are like $150. Yeah. And I'm like,
there's like
what?
Ones that are like dipped in gold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm not opposed to doing one day, but
one day, yeah. But like it's a niche market, totally. But it's like there was nothing in between that was like,
no, there was nothing in between.
Yeah.
So we made a couple samples for those few girlfriends that wanted them. And we're like, let's just put them on the site, see what happens, take some photos. And it kind of just blew up in the sense that I think quarantine hit, people were home, they were on Zoom calls, and they wanted a way to put up their hair that felt simple and easy and cute. And we kind of took that and ran with it and started building these sort of elaborate campaigns and storytelling and all these things around claw clip collections.
Yeah.
In different sizes, in different designs, rhinestones, different materials, some of them change colors. So that's kind of how we transitioned into where we are now.
I have so many questions. I like, not that I would ever start a hair accessory business, but I have an obsession with hair accessories. My assistant Jake, who's here, he helps organize my house and he knows my obsession. I have a whole bin dedicated to it.
No, but that's how I was as a kid too. Yeah. I remember like going to the Korean market with my mom and my grandma, and they had all these little Chotsky things. And I would get so excited over, or even like Limited Too would sell hair brushes, these little glitter brushes. And that was kind of the inspo behind our brushes we just launched. Just kind of that excitement of like what they bring.
I mean, so much excitement. Yeah. I know when you guys send me a package, I'm like, I can't breathe. I'm like, which one do I want to wear first? What's going to be my go-to for the next couple weeks? Because
No, 100%.
Yeah.
I get excited organizing my clips. And I know our customers do too.
How did you know where to start? Like, that's my number one question being a business owner. I'm sure you get this all the time, but like, how do you find a manufacturer? Did you Google? Did you ask friends? Did you already just like know someone who knew someone who knew someone? Like,
so, well, because we have already been making hair accessories for a long time now. And we had been making a few hairpins and headbands. This is now probably 6 years ago. So we already had the manufacturers and we just showed them what we wanted to do and they made it happen.
Well, how'd you find the manufacturer at 14 years old?
I will say that was probably my mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
She, one of our manufacturers in Korea, she's Korean. So I know she had friends that helped her source the perfect manufacturer and point person overseas. And it's obviously, as you know, it's not easy working with people overseas just in general with everything going on and shipping times and lead times. It's pretty crazy. So having that like trust is really nice.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, I that's like you hit the jackpot there. Okay. So You're 14, you're doing hair ties, you transitioned into hair clips. What was like the aha moment? Like, holy shit, like you guys, this is a business. Like sales are coming in. Like, what was that moment like?
We did Oprah's Favorite Things when we were, I want to say 2010 probably.
Okay, so how old were you?
15.
You're 15 now for Oprah's Favorite Things.
Yes.
Okay.
We did Oprah's Favorite Things. And at that point, that's when we got our first warehouse, our first office. It was all kind of moving really quickly. And that's when we kind of realized, okay, like we have like a real company here and this is a serious, it's not just an at-home hobby at this point. And we have to kind of take it seriously and start growing. And what does that growth look like? And to be honest with you, I don't remember like that much of that time because I think I was so young. I was in high school still. Yeah. I was in school full time trying to apply to colleges. Like there were so many things going on that I honestly, and that's why we call it 1.0 is because I wasn't that involved because I was so young.
Yeah.
I was obviously involved as much as I could be, but I had homework, I had tests, I had all these things that, which I ended up performing really poorly on.
It's okay, same.
I was a horrible student, but just juggling all the things, I don't remember everything, but I just remember it being super overwhelming and that, always coming up with new stuff and also being really lost. Cause I think, like I said, Instagram at this point had come out maybe 2 years into the business, maybe 3 years. I'm not sure when, but navigating social media, what is hiring look like at that time? Just so many different things. So I can say that that experience as a whole has kind of really helped us pull together what MEJ is currently in 2.0.
So your main product now was hair clips.
Yes.
Was hair ties. Now it's
hair clips.
Hair clips. And now it's hair brushes. You're expanding, which I want to get into. But for the hair clips, obviously, like hair accessories, just like, you know, what I do, which is activewear, is a super saturated world. It's a super saturated market. I actually think it's one of the hardest to tap into. So was that like daunting to you? Like, how were you like, okay, I'm going to do this? How did you think of like how you're going to make yourself different? Like how you're going to market yourself differently?
Totally. I think naturally I'm pretty competitive. And when I do something, I'm like, okay, we're going to be the best at this object, field, whatever it may be. So it wasn't even that daunting, I think, at the beginning. I think once we realized like, oh, now all these other companies and all these bigger kind of, you know, fast fashion businesses are going to tap on and try and copy those designs is when it got a little more complicated, which we can talk about later. But I think really just making it our own. And like I said, like taking something so simple and making it an elevated experience.
Yeah.
Making it special. It's not like, you know, you can go buy simple hair clips at your local drugstore and that's totally fine. I used to do it. So many people buy their things there. But taking something and just making it special. So if people have this experience, like how we talked about opening your package and how excited you get about your new pieces.
So
and creating things that are unique and different, but also utilitarian and can be used every single day. And telling a story through our imagery. Have you seen like our Instagram?
Of course.
So we take our shoots so seriously and it sounds so silly for a hair accessory brand or something so simple, but that's what makes it a collection. That's what makes it special.
1,000%.
And treating it that way.
All the hair tutorials that are coming out, to mention, like there's, I think like a 2 weeks straight where I wore my hair in the half up, half down where like you like wrap it around. I was like that Lauren posted.
Yes.
And I was like, I didn't think of that.
I know.
But okay. So I'm sure as a business owner, you might feel this, but I want to tell you my thoughts from an outside customer.
Yes, of course.
So starting set, you know, there's obviously styles where I was like, what was I thinking when I like did that, you know?
Yeah.
But with your clips, I think I can genuinely say there isn't one clip where I'm like, I don't think I would wear that. You guys sent me a huge box of clips. And I was like, Jake was like, wow, there's so many. You should bring some to the office. And I was like, I'm going to keep every single one of these. Like, because there's not one where I'm like, not for me. They all are just perfect.
Thank you. So how does
your personal style, like what's the design process? Like, walk me through, it's time to come out with a new clip design. Walk me through that process.
So now the design process is honestly really different than it was a couple of years ago because now obviously we've grown so much. We start with
What's changed is
we have a bigger team.
Uh-huh.
We're super lucky to have the hats kind of passed around to people who are in their respective roles. I think that's number one, and really trusting those people and giving them their freedom to help grow our brand.
Uh-huh.
Number two is I've changed a lot and I'm way more certain about who I am, what I like to see in products and beauty and hair and what inspires me. And I think also, obviously, everything's changing every day with social media, with trends, with TikTok. I mean, everything's so fast-paced and it really, it's easy and it's hard because you have to kind of make those predictions ahead of time. We do have shorter lead times than I feel like you guys do, which is convenient. Like right now, we're just finishing holiday of this year. Yeah.
Wow.
Which to some people sounds far, but to you, you're like, what? That's crazy.
Yeah. We started working on Black Friday last year, like
that's
for
insane.
This Black Friday, for
that's
this
insane.
Coming Black Friday. Yeah.
No, I mean, I wish that we could. I think that's the goal, is to obviously be that far ahead. But because we do have
short lead times,
the shorter lead times.
Yeah.
We do have the luxury of that. And also my OCD is changing things all the time. Like we've changed 1,000 things even for upcoming summer launches. So, but we do have that luxury of a shorter lead time.
Wow. Must be nice.
I know. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I love it. Did you ever think that M&J would become like as wildly known and loved as it is today?
Yes and no. And I think no, just because it's something so simple, but also yes, because I know how much love goes into, and I'm not, this sounds so cheesy, but I know how much love and hard work goes into each collection. And I feel like to the naked eye or like to the average person, it just looks like, oh, they're just like buying these hair clips and putting them up on a site. But it's so much more than that. Like the design process, like the back and forth between our team and me and my mom, and how many things from like my childhood that I put into these pieces, and how much opinions go into it from my friends and people that I trust for each and every hair clip, even if it's just like a solid color. It's a labor of love, and it really shows through our, you know, campaign, our imagery, our marketing, our branding, our customer reviews. And I think that, so for that reason, no, it's not that surprising, but it's obviously crazy when you see all these people whose whose style I really look up to loving your product is obviously so exciting and such an honor. So
of course. So what role, I know I'm bouncing all over the place,
but I just
have so many questions.
No, I feel like we're long overdue for this. We've been talking about this for so long.
What role does your mom play and what role do you play? Well, your mom plays daily, like day-to-day operations. So what's like your primary?
My primary is creative.
Creative.
So all the products and events, collections, collaborations, and imagery. My pride and I know I've said it like 40 times already, but my pride and joy is the photos and taking and coming
the
up
storytelling.
With. The storytelling.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, it shows. You go on Emmy J's Instagram and, you know, the one that you did with our friends. I'm also close with them, but Emma and Sophie.
Yes.
I was like, oh, my God.
Juicy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was really special.
So cute.
It was really cute. And that day was just the most special day for us because our whole team obviously grew up loving Juicy Couture and dying over it. And that feeling also is like something that I got through Juicy. Like going into the Juicy store and like dying for my like for Santa to bring me Juicy stuff. Like the tube
of
socks.
Allure,
like
track
even
suit.
The littlest. Yeah. Yeah. The tracksuits. But then they also made like other little things that were more affordable that I remember just dying over. Like even Roxy, like the brand is another good example of that. Like I had a Roxy binder growing up. And like that feeling of excitement that I would get when I saw my Roxy binder.
Oh my God.
But yeah.
How many people do you have on the team now?
It's still small. I would say right now we have about 20 people.
That's big. Well, for like brands like us. I mean, I have 30. So that's
back in the day, 1.0, we were at like 30. But now we're being a little more selective of our hires. I feel like, I mean, I'm sure you've been through this too. Mm-hmm. We're just kind of being more picky and knowing like what feels right when it comes to hiring.
What's the hardest position that you find hiring for? I have an answer. I just want to see if it's the same.
I think that most people would maybe say social media, but it wasn't for us.
Really?
We got so lucky.
No
I know.
Way.
Yeah, we got really lucky.
Where'd you find her?
I talk about this every all the time. Her name's Jordan.
Okay.
Risa Santos. She's
Jordan Risa.
Yeah, so she runs our social media.
She does.
And she shoots every campaign. She dedicates, I would say, large amount of time to MEJ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's so talented.
I poached her during quarantine, beginning of quarantine. It was out of pure desperation because the world was crumbling and I didn't know what was going to happen to my company. And so we poached her and she was like, I'm not going to sign a contract, but I'll help you guys. And so we did. And 2 years later, she's no longer with her previous companies that she was with. And she's very much so involved in MEJ and incredible.
Yeah, she really is. She's like, I think we've even tried working with her. But the thing is that set, we're so, not that you, I don't know what you guys are internally, but we're so fast paced. And I dream so big that like every idea that I come up with, I want to implement immediately.
No, me too.
And it's just...
That's why I can't believe how long your lead times. I mean, I can because all my friends' businesses are also as long.
Yeah.
I'm like the only one that's...
Well, beauty's the longest.
Beauty's the longest.
For sure.
Beauty's
the longest. So like anytime we want to do a collaboration or something, especially with a beauty brand, like I remember we had a Way collaboration that came out last year. Or was it this year? It was last year. Was it this year or was it last year? Last year. Okay. So last year we came out with a collaboration with the Way and we really wanted to do a product with them. We like even came up with the idea and they're like, sister, that's going to take 2 years. Yeah. I was like, what? What do you mean? 2 years? That's crazy.
No, that's crazy.
Yeah. No, our lead times are really long. We have to start like submitting colors and like our color selection process in and of itself is a very long time because I'm like a perfectionist. And when we get a lab dip back, I have to like sit there and I stare.
Are you involved with like color forecasting and stuff or how does
everything.
That work?
Everything. Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, it's so crazy because the first time, you know, when we were doing set, we didn't go by seasonality. We didn't go by trends. We didn't like follow anything like that. And our color still sold. But our customer behavior in terms of buying patterns has completely
changed,
shifted.
Yeah.
And now it is pretty seasonal. Like people buy based off the season. And so it's pretty crazy. We have like a giant color board that we work off of. Everything we do, we tell stories to.
Yes.
So it's, you know, we have to tell the story. We have to make sure the colors make sense with that story. We can't just be like, let's do purple, pink, and brown, and then let's do it for this story. Like we really have to think about everything. And lab dips is like a whole process in and of itself because we get the lab dips. I have to hold it to the Pantone. I pick the Pantone for a reason. So if it doesn't match the Pantone, I'm not going to approve it.
Right.
And so Abby and Adam, who are on our production team, they get very nervous when they come into my office because they don't know if they're going to get a signature for approval or if I'm going to send them back. And sometimes I've sent them back over 10 times.
Oh, my God.
To make sure.
You have to.
Yeah.
It's your baby.
Yeah. I mean, the amount of times people come into my office and they're like, this is not how it works at other places. It's like, I don't really care how it works at other places. Yeah. This is how I'm doing
totally.
It.
Totally.
So, yeah. But
no, I get that. One of the clips we just launched did take, I want to say, like 10 months to make.
10 months?
Yeah, because back and forth.
What clip was it?
It's a little green hibiscus. It's a sweetheart clip, and it's called Green Hibiscus. And it changes colors. It has three hibiscus flowers, but those three flowers change colors.
And it took 10 months.
And they couldn't get, like, the cutouts right. Like, it looked like there were spaces, and there's a lot of, like, hand labor involved in it because there's rhinestones, and every part of the hibiscus is a separate piece. So it took a really long time.
What are your favorite ways to wear your M&J clips?
The way I'm wearing it now, which is all up and just like a little couple little like spiky pieces coming out of it, or half up, half down.
Half up, half down.
Yeah, at the office, it's always half up, half down. I feel like I can't work if my hair is in my face that well. So it's usually half up, half down.
So walk me through the process of introducing your brushes.
Okay. So, well, first of all, as a kid, I always used bamboo hair brushes.
Okay.
And then I also always, like, wanted to use the limited two ones that were sparkly and plastic. But my mom was like, those are so bad for your hair. And, like, also, I would just use the ones that my mom would bring home for me. So I kind of wanted to combine, like, those two items that I grew up using as our first brush because we have a lot of other brushes coming.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to bother you to tell me, like, what is coming because
there's just so many. Now there's so many different ways to do your hair. This bamboo brush is kind of just, like, your everyday, when your hair is wet or dry, anti-frizz brush. But we want to do styling brushes, smoothing brushes.
Can I have a product recommendation?
Yeah, of course.
Because Haley Heckman, she does my hair when I have like a shoot or a podcast or an event or whatever I need to like. She does my hair because she does it exactly how I like it.
Right.
And she does this finisher to my hair that no one's ever done before. And I have so many flyaways, especially postpartum.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like my hair sticks up now because I have like postpartum hair loss and like this whole thing. And so she takes this like toothbrush looking thing. And I want to say like something.
It's like boar bristle.
Yeah, boar bristle. But it's not thick. It's not fat. Like it looks like a toothbrush that you would use to brush your hair. And what she does is she takes it and she sprays hairspray on it.
Yeah.
And then she just like lightly brushes all my flyaways down. And I'm a new person after.
No, it's the best.
But the holder, it's all wood.
Yes.
And so like from spraying hairspray on it all the time and just like holding it or it getting wet from other hair products, like you can tell it's like just like disintegrating kind of.
So our handles on this current brush that just launched are made of acetate or have an acetate plate on top of it.
Okay.
To avoid that.
That.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like if your hands, a lot of times I'll put like hair oil in my hair and grab the hairbrush. So if it didn't have that plate, the wood would start to like taint over time. It would get probably like oily or discoloration. So that's why we have the acetate plate on both sides to avoid that. So that's what we'll do for our smoothing brushes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I need the whole line. Anything you guys touch, I'm like, I need it now. That's what you created though. It's like, do I really need another clip? No.
Like, technically, no.
But yes, I actually really do need it.
Yeah.
And that's how it's going to be for anything you guys do, at least for me.
100%. That's what I was saying about like the feeling of like, the feeling that it just gets, I feel like all our customers say the same thing, and which is what you're saying is like, they genuinely get excited and they just want every color.
So, okay. So what else is coming? Can you spill any secrets, anything?
Yes. One secret, which I think I mentioned to you guys. We're doing a pop-up.
Okay.
With Matilda Jerf.
Where?
In LA.
Okay.
End of June 24th to the 26th.
Okay.
You're obviously going to be there. We're doing a capsule collection with Jerf Avenue.
Okay.
And I feel like both of our, I mean, she obviously is a magical unicorn and has the most amazing hair and she's just an angel on earth. So that part of it is obviously incredible, but our customers have been asking for a Jerf Avenue collaboration for so long, like since quarantine, basically, that we're like, let's just do it. You're coming here from Sweden. She's bringing her team. It's going to be really exciting. And I think it's also going to be really nice for both of our customers to shop in person because both of our brands aren't really an in-person shopping experience, and to like meet her also.
Yeah.
I feel like girls are gonna go crazy.
She's the best. She's a longtime fan of Set, so we have this like great relationship with her.
She's the best.
The best.
And a hardworking girl.
Okay, like, but can you tell me like what you're doing?
Yeah, I can. So we're doing, because we just shot it, which is also really last
I feel
minute.
Really special. Is this the first time you're talking about it? I heard that here first, you guys. Take notes.
So we're doing a tube dress, which, and it's a very special print. We're calling it Dream Cake. It's like a baby blue floral print with white flowers. Okay. Baby blue with white flower print and like some orange and yellow hues. So we're doing the print in a dress form, which is one of their best sellers. We're doing an MEJ Drift Avenue sweatshirt, like sweat top. We're doing these little hairpins that I don't want to say what they are, but they're really cute. We're doing two different clips.
Okay.
A headband.
Oh my God, a headband?
Yeah.
Cool. What kind?
Really cute one. It's her best, one of her best sellers are her like cotton, I don't know.
Like the stretchy ones?
Yes, the stretchy ones. So it's that, but in the print.
Okay.
And then we're doing like a tote bag and like a bunch of just like fun little extra things, like custom disposable cameras, like fun little eventy things, but then like a lot of like merchy things that'll be available for sale at the pop-up.
Oh, I'm so excited.
It's going to be really special. I'm really excited.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
I have, okay, so I also like have an idea for another product for you guys. I'm just thinking about it. My wheels are turning and I'm like staring. So you know how everyone's
staring.
I'm like staring at your hair and I'm like thinking about like all these different ideas. Yes. Not that you guys would ever, I mean, actually never say never. I don't know. You guys could totally be working on this and I don't know what I'm talking about, but I think that it would be so cool. Like, my biggest thing is I don't want to put, like, sticky stuff in my hair. You know how people, like...
I already know what you're saying. It's in the lab. It's in the lab.
She's three steps ahead of me. What the heck? No one's three steps ahead of me. Well, now I guess you are.
Yeah.
That is crazy. So you're working on something.
Yeah, we're working on something.
Slicks your hair back to put in a clip?
Yes, basically.
Okay.
In a clean way.
In a clean way.
Yes.
I mean, I think the world is your oyster with MEJ. Like, you guys can do anything.
I'm excited.
And it could, like...
One's going to take a while. This is where we start to get into the beauty world and hair and beauty. And this
the
is where
the two-year
like,
lead time.
Yes. And that's where I'm like, okay, this is real and this is long and I'm just going to have to be patient.
Okay, I'm going to do something crazy and you can say no, but I have a fun idea that we could do right now. So I'm interested to see what you say because we have two creatives right now sitting behind a microphone.
Okay.
Let's devise a creative plan of what a collaboration with Set Active and MEJ would look like.
Let's do it.
Right now. I need like 2 seconds to like That's So Raven moment. I just need to think for a minute. I just like really have to take this in because like I feel pressure. Like obviously the clips have to match the active wear. But
do you guys only do solids?
We only do solids. You know what? It's so funny because Mariana asked if we would ever do print. And I think it would have to be for something very special.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe it's with you guys. I don't know. I mean,
I would do a print with you guys for sure.
What print would you do?
That I'd have to think about. But if we did a print, because otherwise I think that it would be really, really sick to do a limited edition, one style, Set Active pant or like workout pant and top in a print, obviously all the normal sizes that you have, and then a matching clip with the print on it.
Yes, I would
do
that.
We're really into prints for collabs.
I'd be open to it. I mean, listen, if you asked me this question 3 years ago, if I would do print, that answer would have been like,
definitely not.
No. But I would be open to it. People are begging for a collaboration. But also, something that I find, yes, we market our product to be, you know, like girl on the go. You don't have to work out to wear Set Active, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But when I, once in a blue moon that I work out, which is like never, but when I do work out or like go to a SoulCycle class, one of the most annoying things to me is when I'm wearing like a scrunchie or a like a hair tie.
Yeah.
And then, sorry if this is gross, but it gets wet because I'm sweaty.
Yeah.
And like, let's say I want to preserve my hair for something that I'm doing that night. Well, I'm fucked because now
that's where the clip comes in. The clip gets hard, I will say, with working out. If you're doing like a Pilates class and you're laying down, it kind of does get in the way. I'm not
gonna lie. What if like we did like a scrunchie or some sort of holder that was quick drying? Or like, you know, I don't know.
The thing is, though, with that is that the best materials that we like the purest cottons or the best jersey materials or pointelle, none of them are quick drying.
Yeah.
They're just like yummy fabrics that are like absorbent.
I know. That's the problem that we run into when you want to do quality over quantity, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you know, you have to ask yourself what's more important, and then the quality always wins, and then you can't do what it is that you want to do. I'll get thinking, though.
Yeah, let's think about it. I would 100% do a print with you guys, though.
My biggest thing, and I always say this, we have obviously a couple collaborations in the works,
yeah,
but my biggest thing that I always say in these meetings when we're doing like a kickoff meeting is, how can we make it different? Like, I don't want to just do like, oh yeah, MEJ does clips and Set does activewear. Let's bring it together and have them do what they're good at and what we're good at and like call it a collaboration. Yeah. I like to like have the event be different. I like the products to be different. I want people to feel like they're buying something that's one of a kind that they can never get again other than this collaboration.
No, I agree. I agree. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously.
Totally.
You get it.
Let's brainstorm.
Yeah.
We'll think about it, because I definitely think there's something there. I'm really into, Matilda and I were just talking about this, but I'm definitely, we're not doing any influencer gifting. We're not doing an influencer event for our pop-up. It's just about the customers and our girls. We'll obviously invite friends and family and like maybe some like editors or loyal MEJ influencers and whatever, but really making it about the customers. I feel like that's where it's headed. We did an influencer event for the Juicy dinner or for the Juicy launch, and it was so special and it was amazing. And it's like, okay, we did that. Let's now go on to the next and make sure that it's primarily about the customer.
Yeah.
And I feel like we could do something really cool. Yeah. Communities.
1,000%. I mean, we have cult like followers.
Yeah.
So,
and they're all so different.
Yeah.
They're the same, but different.
So something that I think is really cool about MEJ is that the like want and need of a customer to create content with the clips.
Yes.
Like it's crazy. It's not just an outfit where you can like go take a selfie. Like people actually sometimes buy the clips, whether they're creating content or if they're like doing it, you know, as their nightstand essentials.
Or on their bag.
Yeah.
A lot of times girls will like clip it onto their new bag and it's like
an accessory.
Yeah.
It's, you've now made hair accessories fashion accessory.
Totally.
That's essentially what you've done.
It's really crazy. It's so cool to see how girls will style their clips and what all the different things they'll do with them. But it also is like, it inspires us to make other things. Like, oh, maybe this like is going to look okay in your hair, but it's going to look even cooler on your bag or even cooler on your shirt or whatever it is.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I always have one of your clips clipped to something, whether it's my hair. It's
or when
like,
girls travel, like all my girlfriends, when they're have like everyone I feel like has roller suitcases and they put their bags on top, they always have hair clips on the bags or like holding the keeping it from falling open.
Yeah.
I use them for my chips.
Your chips?
Yeah.
Like your snack bag?
Like my snacks.
Like you close your chips with your hair
clips. And at the office we do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Yeah.
I love that.
Chic chip clip.
Chic chip clip. Wow. Okay.
Well, Lindsay's like, noted. I'm going to go home.
Yeah. Do you see me? I'm like looking at Caleb and I'm like, should we order a bunch of MEJ clips for the office?
We'll give you some just for the chips.
Ah, just for the chips. Do you hear that, guys? We're getting clips just for the chips. Okay. I'm going to finally take it back. When you first started, you were in school.
Yes.
And you were like, you said yourself, you're like, it was really hard to like focus on the business because like I was in school and then I was in college and like you had to be a student. When was the moment where you were like, okay, I'm taking MEJ full time. Like, this is what I'm going to do.
Okay. I want to preface this by saying I don't recommend dropping out of school. My family is very stern and strict about academics. My dad went to Yale and his whole family is very academic focused. And my sister is younger than me and she just graduated from NYU. So this sounds so much more serious than it needs to be, but academics was really important to my family.
Yeah.
So me not going to college was like out of the question, unheard of, especially like everyone in my school was like fighting to get into these colleges and working their asses off. I knew like since I was a kid, I was like, I'm not fucking going. There's no chance I'm going to college. I'm too creative. There's so many other things that excite me. I didn't want to.
So when and how were you going to tell your family that?
I would always joke about it. And I think they like secretly knew, but I needed to get to a point where I was financially independent to be like, see ya, like leaving school. So I did go to college for 2 years.
Okay.
I had extremely poor grades in high school, like lowest GPA in my class. And that's not because I didn't have like the skills. It was because I was so focused on MEJ and traveling and,
by the way, same. I had like an under 3.0.
No. I had like a 1.9.
Oh.
Yeah. It was sad.
That's okay. Look where
you
are now.
I'm really confident about it because I want people to know that like school isn't everything.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, if there's any last 3 years should prove to everyone that you don't have to be the best in your class to have a successful company or to be successful in life. And I was surrounded by so many teachers and family friends and people that put a lot of pressure on academics. And I think that only made me want to like rebel even more and be like, I'm really not going to do my homework tonight because I'm going to go make a mood board about my future life or my company. Everyone goes to the beat of their own drum. Yeah. Everyone has their own path, their own thing. I have a ton of successful friends that graduated from college and went that route. And I have a ton of incredibly creative, successful friends that didn't go to school, didn't even maybe finish high school, and yeah. they're killing it. So yeah. it's everyone has their own path. But
everyone.
I really struggled for sure in high school.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
Immensely. I actually, I'm going to say it. I think I've said it before, but I was in resource.
What's that?
Special education.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had extra time on yeah. all the tests.
I had a period
and it still
dedicated.
Didn't help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a whole period in high school dedicated to special education.
But where, like, all I would think about during those extra periods and extra times was like what else I could be doing.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
I mean, I always say this and I'll say it again, but like unless you know you're going to be a doctor, you know you want to yes. be a lawyer, you know you want to like get into a specialized field.
Totally.
Like people put so much pressure on themselves to like finish school, get degrees. And I do think I learned a lot getting a college degree for sure. But I definitely, as a mom, I'm not going to be putting that much pressure on my kids
yeah.
because I now own a multi-million dollar company
yeah.
and not even using my degree, sucked at school, rarely got A's, and my seventh grade teacher showed up on my birthday and wished me a happy birthday in my
that's
office.
That's crazy. I saw that.
So you know what? He made a huge impact on my life. I think yeah. it's all about the teacher. And like,
totally.
You can't pick who teaches you. Like, you can't, like, pick your teachers.
No.
Like, even in college, like, you can strive for a class or, like, want to, like, select a class, but it's not a guarantee that you'll get in. There's so many politics to education in school, and I just think so many people put pressure on themselves to figure yeah. out what they want to do.
And I think also, obviously, you don't have this ability in high school, and you do in college, obviously, but taking things that classes that interest you. Like, I actually took a psychology class last year at UCLA just for fun.
Wow.
An abnormal psychology class because it's something that interests me.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
I was there twice a week after work and had the best, and my friend took it with me.
That's so
cool. But being able to, for me, it's like learning about things that actually interest me where it was obviously I struggled with in high school. You don't get to choose your classes. So
yeah.
that was rough, but.
So, you're 2 years into this. Mm-hmm. You were like, I need to like prove it to my family that, you know, I can take this full time and like
right.
do this. So what was the moment where you were like, you guys, it's time?
I just wasn't going to class in college. I would
but
like.
But was M&J making
yeah.
profit?
Yeah.
Okay.
We were making profit. I was on a salary and some and working really hard. And this was before the clips blew up, obviously, but we were still doing other things. And I also was at the same time working for an interior designer.
Okay.
So I had two incomes and I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like the drive, everything, it's not for me. And I left college. But now my parents are like, it was the right move.
Of course.
Yeah. But at the time they had like every family friend calling me being like, you're going to one day when you have kids, you're going to be so upset that you don't have your college degree. I'm like, am I though?
Yeah. I mean,
everyone's different.
Everyone's
so different. You can't like everyone has their thing, their path. Like, it's kind of like you got to like throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks.
Of course. I mean, Nikki Shea, she's like, I've learned more working at set than I will ever learn in college, ever.
Totally.
Not that I'm going to promote all the people listening to, you know, drop out of school and just like learn what you need to learn at a company. I think that when you're passionate about something, you learn a lot and, you know,
for sure.
It's like it clicks. It just clicks. You
totally.
Know, I can never run the operations of set. You couldn't pay me to
no.
do that.
And everyone has their thing. And that's what makes all of this go around, honestly, is everyone having their talents and knowing where their talents, are and all that stuff. And that's kind of how I feel like that's how we both are here today.
But yeah,
definitely. The college thing was not it.
What does a typical day look like in the office? Like, walk me through a typical day being the, you know, CEO of MEJ.
Right now we're in pop-up mode. So
okay.
I would say typical day.
You wake up.
Wake up, coffee, let my dog out, maybe go on a walk with my dog. I'll go to the office. I've been getting up pretty early recently. I'll usually be in the office by, I don't know what early is to everyone, but I'll be in the office by 8:30.
Same, yeah.
Yeah, which is like perfect, I think.
Yeah.
going over emails. Madison, who couldn't be here today, will go through everything for the day, everything for the week, outstanding things, outstanding inquiries, collab emails we need to get back to. And then usually we'll have a wholesale meeting twice a week. We'll have production meetings twice a week.
Okay.
We'll have office meetings twice a week. So we have our schedule and we're kind of like, this is the first time where like everything's really scheduled and organized.
Yeah, and regimented.
And regimented. And it's hard to stick to sometimes
because
things come up, things change.
Uh-huh.
But this is definitely the first time I'd say ever in like my work history where everything is super organized because it has to be.
Of course.
Otherwise, it'll all combust. So I would say every day is really different. But we do like lunches in office every day. My mom cooks food for office every single day.
No way.
I swear. Yeah. It's not normal. And I'm sure that won't last that much longer because it's growing. But it's like her one thing. I'm like, Mom, this isn't normal. This is like way too much. It's taking up way too much time. She has like a panini press in the kitchen. She cooks bolognese sauce the night before and boils pasta. Like she gets so into it. It's not normal. She made a panini making station the other day. Yes.
I you guys can't see me right now, but my jaw's been on the floor for at least the full time that you've been talking about this.
My mom's name is Sumi. So we call it Sumi Salad. We'll have like a Sumi Salad, Taco Tuesdays. We have everything.
Can I come work for Abby J? Yes. Like, guys,
no,
see
ya. It's really, really crazy. And I think a lot of it does come from like both kids are out of the house type of thing. Like, and my mom's like a Martha Stewart. She was always like that growing up, like would cook lunch every single day for my friends and I at school. Like she would make lunch boxes for my friends because they didn't want their lunches.
Is she looking for like a daughter by chance?
She makes lunch every day.
Oh,
so
my
that's
God.
A big part of our day is what she made.
Yeah.
And then just kind of going over production, social media follow-ups with our team, going over the grid, going over launch dates. A lot of different dates have to be moved around sometimes.
Story of my life.
Editing photos, going through selects of photos, all the good things.
Oh, my God. So. Yeah.
And then I'll usually try and do, like, a dinner at night with friends, but usually it's, like, 50-50.
I was doing that for the longest time.
It's exhausting.
I got pretty exhausted, and then I got pregnant again, and I got morning sickness, and it forced me to slow down. I'm now a homebody.
Yeah.
If you want to have dinner, you can come to my house and I will order us food.
That's so much better.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, unless it's SBG because I could go there every night.
Oh my God.
Of the week.
I went there last week.
I feel like we covered everything that I wanted to ask you. I mean, I really just want to drill you on what else is coming because I feel like you could sell toilet paper and I would buy it. But
you know, I saw Kris Jenner has black toilet paper. Or I saw that somewhere. I don't know if that's true. And then I saw at the Violet Grey store, they have black toilet paper. So it's a thing. Colored toilet paper.
Are you saying that you're going to do colored toilet paper?
No, but how cute could it be to have like floral printed toilet paper?
Yeah, that'd be pretty cute.
Yeah.
Well, I actually am very intrigued by this collaboration of doing pattern for the first time.
Me too.
I think people would absolutely freak out. So we're going to have to
talk about
that. Yeah.
We can do, there's a lot of cute little prints we could do.
Well, I'm going to let the print queen pitch those ideas because like I'm over here like, what prints are we going to do? Like, I have no idea. I'm not good with that
Let's
kind of stuff.
Let's do a poll on IG and see.
Yeah. I mean, people, when I post on my IG all the time, like, who do you want us to collab with?
Yeah, they say Amy J.
They say Amy J. Or they say sets, Summer Fridays.
Yeah.
All the time.
Our top is like Jerf Avenue, Set, Summer Fridays, Frankie's Bikinis, Wildflower.
Yeah.
Those are like it's kind of the same every time we ask. So we're just trying to like go down the list.
Yeah.
We've gotten like three done. So
I love it. Let's do it.
Yes.
What's one piece of advice that you would want to leave with our listeners? Business related, life related. It can be anything.
So I'm going to say this because it's like something that I'm dealing with right now is whether you're starting a business or you are trying to figure out what you want to do is accepting that there's going to be high highs and low lows.
Yeah.
I think that, you have a day where everything's going great and you're so excited and you're like, yes, I'm on top of the world. And then there might be a day where maybe that's not the case.
Yeah.
And just kind of accepting that being a founder or starting a business is an emotional experience. Like it's a lot of different emotions and different things that go into it and being kind of mentally prepared for that. And if you can have that talk with yourself where you like accept like this isn't going to be all rainbows and butterflies all the time, then that's like a pretty key thing to starting a business, I would say.
Yeah. But I also feel like that's perfect advice just to take in your general, everyday life. Yeah. Like, not every day is going to be rainbows and butterflies. Totally. I always say to my friends when they're having bad days that if we didn't have bad days, we wouldn't know what the good days feel like.
100%.
So, like, it's okay to feel how you're feeling right now and have that bad day, because then we know what to look forward to for a good day.
For sure.
So I think that's perfect advice. I love that.
Yay.
Okay. First of all, thank you for being here.
Thank you
and
for
joining
having me.
This has been a long time
coming.
We've been talking about this for months. Where can people find you?
At MEJ Inc.
Okay.
MEJAYINC. I have a private Instagram. It's like, I don't use it. Yeah, it's not exciting.
Yeah.
And
are you guys on TikTok?
We're on TikTok.
Cool.
The girls take it, are so good at it. They've gotten so good.
Wow, you're really lucky.
Yeah. The girls kill it.
Don't worry. I won't poach from you because, like, we have that loyalty.
We got really lucky.
Yeah. Wow.
MEJ Inc. And you can purchase MEJs on our website, MEJ.com, and Revolve.
Amazing. I love it. Well, thanks so much for coming on today. I'm excited for everything that's coming.
Me too.
Yay.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to follow us on your podcast listening platform, share your favorite moments with me on social media, and tune in next week. Again, I'm your host, Lindsay Carter, and this is Ready, Set, Spill.